What shall we look at this evening?
I was struck with the very first assignment of the year-long retreat. And it was fun because I read it, very familiar stuff. And I read it in the recorder. And then I listened to it and I thought, oh, wow. Oh, my God. Because I just thought, so here's this thing saying, what we're going to be looking at are things like beliefs and values and habits. And they aren't even the realm of right and wrong. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I just could see that, like, the whole conditioned world rising up and saying, are you kidding me? They're all about right and wrong. What do you mean they're not about right and wrong? You know? And what I was seeing in that was, if you just have that first paragraph, it would change your life.
Yeah.
It would change your life.
Yeah.
And it reminded me, you know, like when people discover, like, fragments of old documents, you know, a sentence here and a sentence there, they read it and it says things like, actually the earth revolves around the sun, not the sun revolving around. And it's like that, you know. And it was like hearing it like I never, like for the first time, because it's become so familiar. Mm-hmm. But to hear it like that and get how your world would be upside down if you could go there. Mm-hmm. That none of this has to do with right and wrong. It changes everything.
Yeah. I did an interview yesterday or day before yesterday sometime, and I don't know who these people are, actually, but at the end he said, so if there was one thing that you would like the world to know, what would that one thing be? And I said, well, our most familiar book is called Regardless of What You Were Taught to Believe, There's Nothing Wrong With You. So I think I would want the world to know there's nothing wrong. And we ended it, and I thought, oh, I bet they think, what a lunatic. You know, at least if I could have had, you know, a couple more sentences on how you might... But it's true, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, really, it just flips the whole...
Yeah.
And I guess the hearing it like that on the recorder, I realized that when things like, you know, even in practice, things become familiar, there's a lulling effect.
Yes.
So to hear it that sharply and to think, my God, really, if I got there, mm-hmm. it would be a different world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there are things we'd like to change. There are things that we're not happy with. There are things that we would do differently if it were up to us. There's a whole long list mm-hmm. of things, but they're not wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And really to get that, mm-hmm. then where does that, what do we do with it then?
Mm-hmm. Right?
If it's not wrong, then... What do we do with it?
And then to think about things like beliefs as, what's really interesting is the process of believing, not the beliefs themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just, you know, it's coming out of a whole different world. Mm-hmm. So it was really fun to hear that.
And it's that place that I'm always grateful that we have a Sangha, because we can talk about these things. Uh-huh. Because there are not a lot of places that you can go and say that, mm-hmm. because people's whole lives are mm-hmm. built around what they believe and that it's right.
Right. And the distancing it requires, the disidentification it requires, to think about, I'm just engaged in the process. Mm-hmm. Because then the next step is, and it really has nothing to do with me, then where am I? I'm back. I want to get back to the sun revolving around the earth again.
Let's go. Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited about the retreat also, because one of the things I think I'm looking at is how to drop into the body or into the heart or into the breath, and because my major defense is to be up in the head. I just love getting out the colored pencil and sitting down. There's just no place for that head game to go.
Because if it tries to be there,
Yeah.
It is so obvious, isn't it?
It's really obvious. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so far it's just been, just bypasses it. And the last assignment was, how'd you get here from the steps? And I was just, the whole, when I look at that, it was like, well, it's the process of waking up and ending suffering. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like innocence and these conditioned things happen. And then ever since then, there's been a process of learning those unconditioned. Or those conditional places to come back to the unconditional, back mm-hmm. to the innocence. And I mean, you're seeing how that's going on all the time.
Yeah. I was talking with somebody recently, different somebody, but, and what we were talking about was seeing your life as like a relay race, and you're the baton.
Yes. That's actually how my map looks. Yeah, that's really
and
good.
So this person hands you off to that person, to that situation, to that.
That's so fun, because part of what I was saying, so it gets handed off to someone, and at the time it's like, why is this person carrying me? You know, like, I'm going to be here.
Right.
And then you take that, now like a 20-year step back, and you're like, whoa, that was really important that that person carried me.
Oh, right. I could not have gotten
exactly.
there if it hadn't. And those little steps, right, I hope everybody knows what the heck we're talking about, but little footsteps of how you got to where you are today. And that realization that truly, if that hadn't happened, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure I'd be somewhere, but definitely not here. Every single one of them.
I know, every single one of them, I mean, I don't know, there's just something in that, again, what I love about that is I get to step back out and then everything's beautiful. The whole
yes.
process, you know, when you're in that really intense suffering, you know, it may not feel beautiful, but all you have to do is move from small to big, and you can see the grace and the kindness of being claimed.
Mm-hmm.
And
through me for just a second, because I just sent that newsletter article off from small to big. How did you do that? We were talking about it on Sunday.
We were talking about it on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I love the whole process of waking up because, well, it's just an adventure in the sense of, like, things that don't work, and you get to see that. You know, so it's just...
And it's not wrong.
And it's not
wrong. There's not a problem with it.
Not
it's
at
just
all.
That, oh, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, you treat people that way, it doesn't go wrong.
Right.
It's really good to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I talked last Sunday about that place of this sort of family or the karma going on here around my family. And I couldn't get to that place of, like, saying what was going on. So, you know, I kept getting interrupted. I kept running up into the head about it. And that was a start Sunday. And then I did it about several more times that day. And it just got better and better, you know. And then it was kind of in that place of like, what? Yeah, okay, so somebody's upset. And yeah, there's some fear going on. And they probably don't understand what I meant or understand what I'm saying. And what?
Right.
What?
We'll probably all survive.
We'll probably can work that out mm-hmm. in a conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just... Anything else? What? Well, I hear the recorder's on. Do you have anything mm-hmm. else to say? Because it's just, you know, the load of intense blah and what's actually going on just didn't really match mm-hmm. as usual. And
yeah.
You know, so there's just that place and, you know, to get some help from the group and, okay, I'm going to get facilitated and then, well, let me get on the recorder that day and let me move the body and, okay, well, that's great. And then the meditation day we had that day and how... That's continued, and it's just like, I don't know, again, it's just like life's offering. I'm engaging, I'm participating.
Yes.
And the thing that's been so lovely, I mean, the recording and listening and group and all of that and all the regular practices, but meditation has really come around as a giant supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And
Scott, can you say why? What do you see about that?
Well, so it seems like suffering for me only occurs because I'm somehow disconnected from the divine. I know it's an illusion. You can't actually be disconnected because you're part of the whole, but it feels, it's like the oxygen tube is off and I'm running around trying to survive, trying to get some air somewhere. And there's something about the meditation, we have to have a day of doing that, that just, well, I want to ask a question, because part of what switched for me is we didn't have the regular someone's guiding sit, walk, sit. We were sitting on our own. And I found myself sitting past the 30 minutes. And I found something really powerful about that. It just helped me get to a, what I saw was, I think conditioning sits, ego sits sometimes, and there's something about that it did to the 30 minutes, or was sort of like getting me through the 30 minutes. I hadn't really seen it before, but when I sat past the 30 minutes, I like got into some other place, and back into that love affair with the breath, and that stillness, and what we are, and the nothing wrong. And so, and I felt that. I mean, I think you've pointed that to me in guidance a lot, like that place, the gap, that stillness, because nothing can do anything to that. And there's nothing that can be going on, you know, and so once that I'm plugged back in and I'm with the divine, there's a huge, we went from small to big, and everything is okay, and there's room for it all, and then I can practice with it. But not, that seemed really important, that the suffering came from feeling disconnected, so I needed to get connected, and meditation is an amazing way to do that.
Because when you're focused on the breath in that way that you're describing, there's nothing to be maintaining this, right? So this being what's going on in the head. So all of that suffering over the family and what, you know, misunderstanding and what are people thinking, that requires all of our attention to be on that.
Yeah.
You can't, we just can't do both. So there's the disconnection from the divine. You drop that, come back to the breath, come back to the hara, here you are, no problem. So it's a very specific how
that
goes with that.
Yeah, attention kind of like the animal thing. Your attention's on the breath, there's no...
There's nothing maintaining this.
Yeah.
So literally all the problems just disappear. Then, of course, usually as soon as we stand up, it's, you know, the attention just goes right back to the head, and if we're paying attention, we feel disconnected again.
Yeah, and I think all the other things I was doing was sort of like poking holes, you know, little air pockets coming into that thing. But there's something about the sitting was a sustained something, and something that we, it's like, I want to go, I want over there. You know, like, you know, finding myself a couple of times like, oh, can I get some meditation early? How about, you know, sit before the bed? You know, just things that I hadn't been doing before, like feeling called. And it's just like, again, back to that everything unfolding. I mean, all those little things, you know, I mean, I probably wouldn't have done the extra sits if I hadn't been desperate.
Right. Yes.
You know, like,
yeah,
it's just all things you've done. And that's pretty wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, and that I know we talk about this regularly, but that getting to that place of, like this stuff happens with your family, and that on this side of it, it's, oh, and the struggle to see it and get through it and make peace with it and worry about it, and then being guided through that and realizing that what you just had was an opportunity to experience karma consciously.
Exactly. Thank you for saying that. That's what happened. Yeah. And then
and you're free in a way that you weren't before.
Yes. That's what I love about the waking up and ending suffering. You just keep doing that. You know, so like the mind wants to set it up like, and then poof, you know. But I think you can have these waking up and suffering ended, and then and then waking up.
Yes, and if we see each one of those as, imagine that there you are, and you know those the Macy's parade balloons, you know, these giant balloons, and they've got all these guy wires down holding them down, right? And imagine that we have millions of those, and that's karma. And each time you have an experience like that and move through something consciously, do we want to go through it? No. There's resistance. I hate it. I wish this never happened. Why is this? And then you move through it, and one of those guy wires has been clipped.
And then once you have that experience and it comes up again, it's like, it's okay, but I know, we know how to...
This is a workshop.
It's a workshop.
And yeah, and this isn't a mistake.
Right.
I'm getting to go through something and see something that's going to free me.
Mm-hmm. So I know we want to move on, but I just wondered about that meditation.
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay.
Are you, do you...
No,
I get to meditation.
Yeah, right. We're here, we're up for the window. Just the 30 minutes, and is there any guidance? I think I remember you saying your teacher only had you sit for 30 minutes.
Always.
Yeah.
And most traditions do have a specific amount. And so people would say, you know, they'd come in from somewhere else and say, you know, well, I don't really settle down for 25 minutes, and then the sit's over. And his response was always, we learn to settle down sooner.
Yeah.
Get right on to it. I only have 30 minutes here.
That's what it occurred. It's like, well, we're not solving whatever's going on in the 30 minutes by sitting for an hour.
Right. Well, and that's the other part of it, that people will say to me, because they assume that I'm impressed by these things. Well, I sit for, sometimes I'll sit for 4 hours at a time. And I'm just thinking, well, I don't want to do that. Because... it's not good for the body to do that. And most of the time, once we get into it and get used to it and get comfortable with it, it can turn into a big snooze. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
Yeah, so we just kind of drift off a little bit. And if you know that you have a finite period of time, then you want to, from the attitude that you're talking about, not, oh, God, am I going to survive this? You remember those days?
Oh, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Wear my watch. I can look down and see. My leg really hurts. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My leg is going to fall off. I'm at minute 18. But then we get to that place of, I really want to be here. And not only do I want to be here, so I don't have to go through all of the resistance and that sort of thing. But tied in with what you were looking at just a minute ago, I'm no longer seeing anything about this as something that shouldn't be happening. Mm-hmm. So I noticed that different things happen in meditation. Sometimes I'm really excited and enthusiastic. Sometimes I'm dreading it. Sometimes it's all about the pain. Sometimes I'm bored out of my mind. Sometimes, you know, none of that's a mistake, which, of course, conditioned mind wants people to believe. Like there is a meditation, and when you finally get there, you will be doing it right, and something magic will happen, which does happen, right? But the point is for us to be present to exactly what is happening. Mm-hmm. So before it's over, you will experience everything that there is to experience about meditation. And if you're present to it, rather than letting something decide what's a good meditation and not, and what to avoid and what this means and how to, you're going to see a lot. Mm-hmm. Which will make you a very good meditation teacher one day. Because when somebody says, and then it is, you just nod wisely. Because you know those sits. Rather than, ooh, what happened? You what? You don't want to do that. Whoa, let's just go down this side, Ellie.
Oh, wow. I'm so incredibly happy to be here. And being here, like having the experience of being here every step along the way, something shifted. Mm-hmm. And I can see it a little clearer outside of my regular life, mm-hmm. that something has shifted.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how to put it into words, just that like there's this awareness of being here. Like I woke up late this morning, and I had that, like before my brain was awake, I was sitting up and going, oh my God, And then there was a, like, wait, that's not how I would start my day. No idea where that came from. And I laid back down, took a few breaths. Okay, now I can go. Mm-hmm. And just like everything's fine. Mm-hmm. My flight was canceled. And I got to the airport, and flight canceled. And I'm like, again, it's like the same process. It was so amazing to see it happen twice within like 3 hours. Where there was that, holy cow, I have to freak out. And then...
It's not like I have a choice. This is a freak out moment, and I must freak out.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. And then there was, right on the tail of that, the take the next step. It's going to be okay. Breathe. Go, and I just did the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and it's all fine.
I confess I am curious though. Did the plane finally take off? Did they change their minds?
They put me, I had, because of some logistics stuff, I was there very early. And they were able to put me on a flight that was earlier. There's multiple flights every day. So.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, so you got here sooner rather than not here.
Well, and there was like that, like, I was watching as I'm in line, like going through, okay, what are the other options? Get on my phone, figure out what the other options are. Oh no, what if I, you know, options are later than I was going to be here, and how's that going to, like, and then just, but there was part of me that was just watching all of it. Mm-hmm. And,
it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's not how I want to live my life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And, the retreat, I recorded the introduction, and I've been listening to it in the morning. And it's what Scott would say, or somebody, Penny would say, like, just that first line of there's no right or wrong, and that whole two pages, you know, be more interested in the comparing than in the process of comparing, mm-hmm. than getting into the comparing and all of that. Mm-hmm.
It's just marvelous, isn't it, that step back?
Yeah.
Because that is just not something that we run across every day. You know, the notion of moving back in that way. You know, I'm so busy comparing things, right? So busy figuring out what is the this and what is the that of it, and which the pros and the cons. And the idea of stepping back and watching that process, losing interest in what's chosen, yeah. but watching it as a process, it's kind of out there, isn't it?
It really is.
I mean, you just don't hear people talk about it. Or, you know, people don't write about it. People don't anything about it. Yeah. Do they? Unless, you know, I'm reading the wrong things. But doesn't seem it. Yeah. And so it really is kind of you can feel the movement. Right? You can feel it when you step back from that... content, duality, how I'm used to doing it.
And there's still like this kind of part that's, or at least what I'm seeing, it feels like there's a part that's still engaged with that. Like there would still be running the scenarios while I'm in the line at the airport.
Yes, yes.
But there was something that was just kind of like,
yes, well, yes, because what you were meant to be doing is to be completely absorbed in the whatever that story was. Mm-hmm. So to be able to watch that process go on as it's going on is just a whole new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that it's a thing. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. It's not just that, Oh, that was strange. I mean, for a minute, I was too many drugs. But it's a thing. You can do that.
Yeah. Having heard it about the experience, and then having the experience and recognizing it.
Yes.
And like, okay, that's it. That's fascinating.
Yes. Now can I do it again? I like to compare it to those. I don't even know what they're called, but you know, the hippopotamus and the dots. Mm. you know those things, and you know, and then you realize you can do it. Mm-hmm. You can do it. You can look away. And disidentification is the same process. You realize with practice, I can do that anytime I want. I can step back and watch it anytime I want. I want.
So I'll just echo the person next to me. I'm so happy to be here.
And a beautiful day.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for the flowers. They're kind of getting, they're lifting their faces up again after.
There's hope.
There's hope. so much. One thing is, I was walking home last night, and I realized I have moved. I felt like I had moved into a different place. Not physically, but yeah.
You have. That's not the move you're talking about.
I don't want to move anymore. But yeah. I know, I just like years and years and years of being so steeped in self-hate and just marinated in it, you know. And you know, most unbelievable things that have just continued on about, you know, it's all the same.
It's something we all share, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I was just walking on last night, and I just had the distinct feeling that the marinade has changed. You know, I could just feel.
Yeah, it's delight.
I heard another monk, that was like, I don't know how, it was 2 years back, saying, you know, having given up everything and receiving everything that she ever wanted, and I thought, what is she talking about?
I've got everything. You know? Good for her.
Yeah.
Don't have to be you.
Probably never happened to me. I'll just give up everything and that'll be the end. You know? But I just had that feeling. I really had a sense of that last night. Like, oh my God, I have a feeling of getting so much that was always wanted, and you know, and I had all that stuff, you know, I had all the toys. It looked like I had the stuff, mm-hmm. you know, but it wasn't. There was no happiness. Mm-hmm. And then you know, put me down here in the with a bucket in the woods, you know, and getting to that place, what was all it
So when the old Zen story about the monk who comes home and the robber is in his house and he feels so awful. Give him this bucket. You know, it wouldn't be the same. And then that, oh, I wish I could give him that movie. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what he meant.
Yeah. Really, really. So I feel like one thing I want to talk a little bit is I feel like, of course, I got some backlash for that when I got probably about 2 hours of sleep last night, and it was just at me. And you know, that's okay. I just bathed myself, and I forgot what I kept. No, I'm bathed in the light of love, and go ahead, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what? Just go ahead. I'm just bathed in the light of love. I put my recorder on, and then I fell asleep. And this has happened before. I find this so interesting. So my recorder's going, and then of course what I'm saying is integrated into. I fell into a little dream, and suddenly there's a man talking to me. He's saying exactly what I'm saying on the recorder.
He's in your dream. And a man is saying what?
A man is saying what I've recorded, and I go. Well, that's a guy saying what I said on the recorder. And then I said, well, that's kind of cool. Shake things up. It keeps you on your toes. But.
And you're kind of asleep, or you're kind of in a dream state while you're.
I'm in a dream state, you know, and that's happening. And, you know, and there's like this scrambling to figure out what's going on. There's something familiar about this, but the delivery is, you know, it's really wonky. So, you know, what I was thinking about that is like, God, you can't trust anything that comes through here.
Uh-huh.
And it just is like, I mean, you know, what a scrambler. I don't know how that works, but it takes...
Yes, it takes what you said and runs it through somebody else's voice in your dream.
In my dream. It's just so... Yeah, and I've had that similarly happen before with, you know, other people saying, in the dream saying, you know, usually it's a woman, other times a guy shows up. But anyway, I
just find... Is there a guy going about that?
He just talked to me. So, anyway, so that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that I had a great day.
On your 2 hours of sleep. Bathing in the light of love.
And the other thing I just want to say is, I think this is a result of the Socratic email class. We're talking about family, but I just had a conversation with my daughter, and you know, it's just been a hard relationship. I mean, I don't know. I've had harder relationships, but you know, it's been hard for us to communicate. So through the email class, what I was seeing is. First of all, it's just so amazing. All anybody is doing is loving each other. What is the deal? You know? Why does it have to get so screwed up? You know? And I realized through the class that when I talked to my daughter, I was doing all these all these little techniques to make it better. You know?
Which must have felt so authentic.
No, I do reflective listening. I'm doing everything. I'm gonna get this relationship right. And the last time I talked to her, I just thought, you know what? That's it. That's the end. I'm just gonna have a conversation with her and just love her. Mm-hmm. And I give up. I'm not gonna practice any tool. Mm-hmm. With her, and it was wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to say,
you were just there.
I was just there, and I just want to say things didn't go to hell because I just practiced being there. and that actually, you know, what happened is, you know, when it came up, when there was that pull to give advice or to insert myself. There, it was like, I see that. I think I'll not do that.
I could not do that.
It didn't come from by trying to get it right.
Right. It just, yeah, you were present.
Yeah. So it was just great fun.
Bathing in the light of love.
Bathing in the light of love.
That's the mantra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a good thing you have that, too, because there are no other bats down there.
They certainly are not.
Yeah.
That's good.
No. I guess love is in the air.
Spring. It's spring.
Yeah. It felt so springy today. Mm-hmm. I had an opportunity to drive to the Bay Area and back today, mm-hmm. which is not something I haven't done fairly often.
Me too.
But today, it was just a completely different experience.
Say more.
Well, it was just, it was so beautiful. Everything was so absolutely mm-hmm. intensely beautiful. The hills were just the most beautiful green. Mm-hmm. The cows were grazing, and they all looked so happy and content. There were goats with little tiny babies that had just been born, sheep with little babies, and the sky was the color of blue that just is perfect. These little puppy white clouds, and I just felt so grateful to be alive mm-hmm. and to be able to appreciate it in the way that that was available mm-hmm. for the human. Mm-hmm. And it just lasted all the way there, all the way back, and I sat down here to meditate. When, we had meditation at 5:30, the heart was still wide open. I mean, it was just like, wow.
Perfect.
I could die right now because there's nothing better than this.
Yeah.
Nothing better than just being able to be so grateful. Mm-hmm. To have the senses to see all of it, the presence to be there, it was just perfect. Mm-hmm. Doing this thing that I've, done so many times kind of routinely, not always, it's always, I think, there's always a lot of really nice things to experience. But today was just
magic.
Yeah,
and the good news is, you didn't die.
No, I didn't.
No. Which is kind of gravy or icing on the cake or whatever we would want to say. Mm-hmm. I could, and I didn't.
Yeah. So, having, I could have not had that experience.
Oh, so easily.
Yeah.
Almost everybody didn't.
Right. And so, I haven't yet, but I'm going to go home and record a beautiful recording to remind myself that that's what's possible when a person is just present. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have to be that beautiful.
That's
either.
All that happened, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, as you say, there's always much to enjoy. It always has its beauty.
Yeah.
It's not like we live in an ugly place.
And there was a moment where I went, oh, I'm driving through my drawing of life. There were so many elements to what I was seeing that was in my little drawing of life. I gotta add some cows and some babies and a barn. I really need a barn, and then I'll just remember what today was. Yeah,
love it.
So fun. So I'm so grateful.
Yeah, that's just it, isn't it?
Yeah,
when we just get to that place. I'm just so grateful.
So grateful.
Carol, I don't know if it was listening in today.
88.
Carol, who was on the show this morning, the radio show this morning.
I was at the rheumatologist. I have to hear that one on the recording.
Well, she's just so grateful. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to be 88 soon. I'll be that grateful.
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. I think my experience is the older I get, the more capability I have to be grateful.
I think so.
Yeah, so getting older is not a bad thing.
No. Especially, as everyone says, compared to the alternative.
The year-long retreat title is like such a catch for me. It's the you can't do anything, there's no right or wrong answer. Since I was a kid, that's like my, I'm on it. As soon as I hear that, my heart lifts and I'm free, when I hear those words. And how you do anything is how you do everything was the first workshop that I came to here. Mm-hmm. And drawing and crayons and everything is like, where I'm at. So I really so much enjoy it. And I am having a blast, of course, with it all. What I have noticed recently in my meditation is a different experience. I don't pop back to awareness, the breath. I glide back.
So you're not gone and then suddenly you're here.
Well, I am gone.
But you're kind of sneaking up on it.
Suddenly, and I don't think I'm suddenly gone either. Mm-hmm. It's like being in a plane when you're going through the clouds and then it gets up to here with clouds, and then the clouds move back, and then the sky is bright, and then here comes more. It's kind of like that. Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you're aware of all of it. You're there for all of it, even though sometimes the clouds are kind of close in.
Yeah, I'm not, sometimes I'm to 14, and sometimes I'm on 2 for a long time. But the sensation, I guess, the experience on more a physical level and not in my head is more dancing or
not so strident,
nothing sudden seems to happen, and almost like I'm being meditated, like I'm not, doesn't feel like trying, and there's maybe more awareness of it all, I guess, of all that has been going on.
And so let me ask you this. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah. it feels almost like a relief. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to, I'm only on 2. Or whatever, I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah, well, to me what you're describing is going from a place where ego is going to do this thing to actually meditating. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm sitting.
Yeah.
Those are the instructions, right? So I'm sitting. I'm not sitting to get somewhere. I'm not sitting to have a particular experience. I'm not sitting to be the right person. I'm not even sitting to be enlightened. Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting.
Mm-hmm.
To sit.
Yeah, and there is a enjoyment. It's
yes.
fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Just to sit and be aware.
Right. And to have no checklists and do's and don'ts and
nobody's watching you.
Nobody is could care, really.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So it's really great.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I noticed, like on the way here, the battery's going low on my phone, and my Siri isn't going to be telling me pretty soon where to go. And there are a few highway changes to make. So I stopped to get a charger for my phone because mm-hmm. my car doesn't work. The cigarette lighter charger for the phone doesn't work. And I saw that this is a different behavior for me. To go outside, I'm going to pull off the road, I'm going to find a place, I'm going to went to Camping World, you know. And
Camping World.
Yeah. Who else would have a battery charger for your cell phone?
Sure. Yeah.
The world has everything like that.
Best Buy. Who needs you? Camping World.
And it was fun. I mean, it was fun. But what I felt, as well as the fun of it, like doing something dangerous or, you know, like I'm off the grid now, was like a beam of, like, hot sun on my head. Just like, so almost like when you hear the echo on the phone when you're talking, like, I'm self-conscious. I mean, not in a good way.
Uh-huh.
You're
not talking about disidentified
no.
at this point, yeah.
Well, or maybe I am, but what it felt like was an impersonal watcher. Does that make sense? Like,
yes, and yet you were aware of experiencing yourself as self-conscious.
Yeah, almost like two. The one paying the cashier and the one going, whoa, what is this? And then this hot, or not hot, but like bright.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Light.
And did that have a judgmental quality or non-judgmental?
Oh, no, just there.
Uh-huh. So you were just aware of all of that.
Yeah, and that's, like, weird, huh?
Yes, very weird. That's what you don't do, Scott. You don't say, oh, man, very weird. So with what you're describing, so there she is at the cashier, and there's the voice having opinions about what she's doing. But there's this larger awareness that is aware of all of that.
Well, there was awareness of, like, okay, now I got to make change. Now I got to put my card into the thing. And almost like there was another part that was making that difficult in a way, because it wasn't just unthinking going into my purse and all that. It's like, oh my gosh, I have to find my money. You know, it was harder in a way.
Yes.
And it was also very amusing, and realizing that there wasn't a lot on the line. You know, I'm paying money and I'm, you know, but after I
and
got...
And you are in Camping World.
I would say Camping World, everyone's happy. There's a dog there barking, you know, this little thing. And then I get in my car and I'm looking at my purse like, do I have my phone and everything? Where? Because, you know, the one in charge of all those you know, and now you put it in your pocket and everything wasn't like as a present or as controlling, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got back to the car, I thought, whoa.
What happened?
Yeah.
And yet, this is, it's, and yet, you were as aware of that bright light awareness as you were, it sounds like you were actually more aware of that than you were aware of the ability to get the money.
Oh, it
and
was
the,
distracting in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of distracting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was, all of it sounds like it was taking you out of a normal, mm-hmm. slightly unconscious, automatic pilot,
yeah.
sort of a way of being able to do things.
Yeah.
That you were really hyper aware of everything in a way that kind of turned it into self-consciousness.
I think competence has been a big issue for me through my life. So appearing competent, feeling competent, you know, I can get my, I know where my credit card is, like my cell phone is charged, you know, covering bases and all that has been really high on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And this experience was those, it wasn't high
on
the
grid.
Yeah. It's like things have really gone way off from here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, and yet I sense, I project, that you knew that that was not the case.
Right.
But all that was going on is the person, that person who's usually there wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was really weird feeling in a good way.
Well,
noticeable.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're aware of it.
Yeah.
And it's different.
Yeah.
And I would say interesting.
It was so much more interesting
mm-hmm.
than the way I would have done it
mm-hmm.
in the past.
So one of the things that I like to do with people on occasion is to say something like, so we'd be talking about something, I'll say, well, now just get up and walk across the room naturally. Right? So, you know, of course, you can get up and walk across the room naturally anytime until you try. and that's kind of the feeling that I get from what you're saying. It's not like you didn't know how to pay for the stuff, but everything is so kind of...
yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Very fun.
It's very fun.
Andrew?
Earlier you mentioned the Macy's balloons and the strings and experiencing...
Clipping those guy wires.
What I followed you saying was that only happens when you're going through your... when you are experiencing karma consciously. Maybe not only, but that's certainly one time that you clip one.
Yeah, because otherwise what we tend to be doing is adding guy wires.
Noted.
And that's that place where the Buddha used the image of tying knots in a karma as knots in a silk scarf. And I added to that, and so people start getting concerned when they can't get any more knots in their scarf, and that's when we start going in the other direction, right? So when no more guy wires, there's no more room for any more, then we start thinking about clipping.
So lately it's been a season of clipping, it's not without... it seems like the fear is like part of the karma, and it boils out, and then one gets clipped. The fear doesn't disappear, but the thing gets clipped. Is that not so?
Well,
did they both get clipped?
Well, I don't know. So first of all, let's establish that. So given that, for me, when I look at that, if I okay, so I'm going along, and I have a fear arise that I am going to lose something. So I have a fear that that I'm not going to have my child, and I'm not going to have a relationship with my child, or something will happen to my child, or that sort of thing. And a tremendous fear comes up with that. And if I were to work with that, if I were to come to a place of peace with what relationship is, and what parent and child is, and what loss is, and what clinging is, and letting go is, and I get to a place where I'm at peace with all of that, for me, that's when the guy wire would be clipped.
So might it be, okay, yeah, that's helpful. The fear that I can't clip the wire comes up, and then the wire gets clipped and I had nothing to do with it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I can't think, there's no credit for that.
That's right.
But I did it. It happened.
Well,
how's that, exactly.
Well, to me, it's the most exciting, baffling part of Zen. Okay? Because what we're trying to, and for Christianity, is just less familiar in Christianity. It's talked about probably more often, but I don't think it's actually seen as kind of be all end all that it is. So if we said, I was the same interview guy. I wonder, they're probably think, okay, put that right in there.
I got an email. Maybe.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, excellent. Oh,
she's not a lunatic.
Well, she is, but an interesting lunatic. So what we were talking about is, so what is Zen, you know? And my first answer always is, I don't know, ask those people who make tea, Zen tea. They seem to have an idea of what it is. And so I was saying that people will say to me, on occasion, well, as a Buddhist, you don't believe in God. Is that right? And my response is, I don't believe there's anything that isn't God. Which can sound like kind of an off-the-cuff, sort of a twisted around. But for a Buddhist, of course, that's absolutely true. And that's what we're trying to grasp. That it's not that there's a me and God. There's a God that is me. So it's not I'm God. God is this, okay? And I can fight that. Ego can fight that as much as it wants. But eventually, that's what we're going to have to make peace with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like all I was able to bring lately is, if there's a self or ego, it's fear. And yet,
yes,
that still cannot prevent me from clipping the wire and the fear becoming something other than what it was when it started.
Yes, and again, for me, what that comes down to is, it's kind of, I don't care. I'm bathing in the light of love. So ego comes in. Ego is fear, right? So it just roars up with its and I don't care. I choose God. It doesn't matter. Yes, that's true, and I choose, you know, however that is. And in that way, we are making a choice for the divine, for God, against ego.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be any other room for anything else other than the former.
No. Well, we have no choice, right? We have no choice, but we think we do. And that's what, you know, everybody goes along through life thinking we have a choice. And we do have a choice, We only have one choice. Thy will be done.
Yeah.
And so when we finally get that, then we can have sympathy for ourselves, yes, and also have some resolve about that, because we know what we're doing now. You know, we know the choice that we're making, and we're making the choice. I'm choosing thy will be done. Do I like it? Do I want it? Is it, if I could have another one, would I long for those days when I didn't have to face that? But the reality is, I do. And so with everything in me, I'm attempting to mean it. Mm-hmm. When I say, thy will be done.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned there were several wires.
Yeah, lots.
It's not a bad thing to be clipping them. It seems like a
good thing.
It's like a good thing to be clipping them.
Well, because if we just go with thy will be done, okay? I mean, we wake up in the morning and I'm like, ugh! Okay, well, thy will be done. Mm-hmm. All right. The plane is canceled. Thy will be done. Right? So, always it's the W.C. Fields, you know. You know that story? He's on his deathbed and he's reading the Bible and somebody comes in and goes, what are you doing? I'm looking for a loophole. So with that, we realize that all day long, it's my will, not thy will. That's what's going on. I'm going for my will be done. I want to eat this. I want to go here. I want to feel this way. I want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't like that. Why is this happening? I want something other than, you know, and in the way we're looking at it, those are all the guy wires.
Yeah.
And every time I get to that place of, with whatever amount of cheer I can muster, thy will be done, another one gets clipped.
Okay. And that's how it is.
Seems to be.
So much for not knowing what you're talking about.
Well, we have to keep in mind, I don't know this. I just talk about it.
Yeah, I think you're onto something.
Thank you, Andrew. Jen?
So that really touches on something I've been looking at a lot. So I've heard you say a number of times over the years, I remember one story in particular, you have to want it. And so that place where you were saying you have to mean it, you know, and I've been looking at that so much, and it's one of those places where as you were just having that conversation, I'm like, oh, quick, I see it, you know, and try to say it, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, all kind of right there, so I don't know if I can, but what I see in it is that I watch. And it's happened a lot with the year-long retreat. This is an extraordinary opportunity.
We're 4 days in. And you know, that's crazy.
What I feel like is the groundwork was being set for a couple of weeks, but like I started the workshop, not really even realizing that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's extraordinary. But the what I feel come in is truly wanting to use everything in my experience to see
how I got yourself to suffer, drop that in suffering. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not because I should, and not because, well, you've dedicated your whole life to it, and that's what you said you were going to do, and not any of that. And not even,
can you hear all right?
Mm-hmm. No?
And yeah, your voice gets really soft when you.
Okay. When I do the whatever. So when not
you, when you lower it.
That's a big insight to have.
Yeah.
So not from a place of I should, it's the right thing to do, I said I was going to, any of those things. It's just I want that. But the whole point is it's not I want that. It's that I've talked about it in some forms, I think, but one of the depictions of it that was so helpful for me was a book that I read that depicted these two young people, I think I talked about it on Sunday, who basically gave up that love, you know, that we feel as human beings for, you know, intimate partner, and all that goes with that, and the, you know, all that goes with that, for love, with a capital L. And what occurred to me after that, in recording a bunch of different things, is I think that maybe everything I'm coming up against, and I'm talking about, quote, tiny little things, irritations in my day, and that's not fair, and oh, shoot, and, you know, all of that, it feels like those maybe are portals to that big L, love. And I can't really say why, I can't articulate that, I can't say where that's coming from, but what that facilitates is an extraordinary, the wanting the big L more than the small L. And then what I watch is not
wanting that.
No.
Now I want to be irritated.
Or I want to eat what I want to eat. And I want to feel how I want to feel. And I want that. I really, that thing. Wouldn't it be so great?
I want little L.
And it just, all, and sort of like the conversation you were having with the watching the getting the money out of the store, it feels like all of that, a lot of the time, is all of that's being seen, you know, those two movements. So then I start looking at that place, you know, you have to want it. And what I'm not sure is if that might be just another way to collapse the awareness. Because
saying you have to want it?
Like saying, you know, like looking at what is that place where almost like, I think probably it's trying to get the wanting the big L all the time. Which is a way to have the small L.
You know? Yeah.
So I don't know. There's just, maybe that's why I can't see how to talk about it, because you can't, and there's no point in talking about it. I'm not sure.
Well, talking about it isn't so much of a problem as trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because trying to figure it out is always going to be a small L perspective.
Yeah.
So, to me, it goes back to, Mom, remember Scott? Way back then. Because we're so accustomed to seeing everything dualistically, mm-hmm. it seems like I'm on my way to the big L experience, mm-hmm. and all these little L departures here mm-hmm. are really kind of a mistake.
Yeah.
But they're not, of course. No. Because each one of those is, it's kind of a guy wire. If we put all of our... So if we go with the image of thy will be done, there's that feeling of, okay, so I could choose my little selfish ego here, mm-hmm. and which is going to get me what? I don't know why we think it's a good idea, because it is never happy, and probably that's it, because ego loves to be unhappy in the center of the universe, all those things that we always said. Here I am, and I know that I want to live in thy will be done. And so here's this little opportunity, and I can either I can either whine about that over here, or I can say, I can offer it.
Yes, exactly.
It's an offering.
Yes.
I'm gonna choose not to indulge this little ego yes. thing because I choose the divine.
That's a beautiful connection. Yes.
Okay. And so then we get to see how when we fall into ego, right? And we realize that, and we see, I mean, we're all in agreement, you know, it feels awful, and yet we still do it, because it feels good to ego to get to do that. That's what feels good, to actually say, I don't care about you, divine, I'm me.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's a real place for ego.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Yep. It feels good to feel bad.
Right.
And so we see that and we realize what that is, and that's part of our choice for thy will be done.
Yes.
I don't want to do that.
I don't.
And so there's no as you started out, there's no should.
Exactly.
I've worn out.
Exactly.
I guess we could all say I'm wearing out.
I'm wearing out, right.
Yeah,
right.
That little ego will to piss and moan is what I'm saying.
It's so good, Sherry, because it reminds me of another way that I've been looking at it previous to this, which is that place of, you know, so let's say there's a habit that I don't want to do anymore, or a new thing that I do want to do, or whatever, cultivating the yes instead of having to constantly get at the no, right? Because the yes is completely sustainable. The no is not sustainable.
Yes.
No, I'm not going to do that. Well, that's going to last for 30 or 40 seconds. But the yes, I want to do this.
Yes. Yes. And it's what we were talking about with meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So, or William Penn.
Yeah.
Say
yes,
no. Say no for just as long as you can.
Yes.
Go ahead, knock yourself out,
yes.
and do it with full conscious awareness.
Yes.
Because sooner or later, you're going to get tired of it, and you're going to want to say yes. And then you never have to worry about saying no.
Yeah.
In that regard, there's a guy wire. Right?
There's one.
There's billion others, but that one is gone. You don't have to worry about it because you don't want it.
Yes, but that's so good. That is completely the experience I'm having with the year-long workshop. It's 4 days old. That was the intro. I can't remember exactly how it said it, but the be exactly as you are without the judgment. And I just, what I heard in that is take the whole year to be exactly how you are, because that's what it says. That's why I heard that.
That's how you got there. Brilliant. And you know, it's pointing at something really important. It's back to full circle, back to where we started out, right? Because the assumption is that I'm going to be my flawed self,
right,
without judgment, right? But without the judgment, you get to realize you're not flawed.
Yeah. Like you were talking about, was it this morning, yesterday, with Christine? Where she, I forget what I have to say something, you know, to make me whatever. And
I have to look good because I want this intimate relationship with this man. And unless I look good, I'm not going to get it. And good luck, kids, because he has no idea who you are, and now you're going to...
And the assumption that I'm not good, that I don't look
that's
good, that completely gets glossed over.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, because I've had so many relatively tiny, but on a process level, huge experiences lately, where I don't interfere with what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
It just don't interfere.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just watch it on its course, and... Mm-hmm. The things that happen that don't, I don't even know how to describe it, right, that don't serve whatever, just fall down.
And well, it's what Sequoia was talking about, being present and talking to
exactly
to the daughter.
Yeah.
So Lucinda was talking about with
yeah.
meditation. I mean, when we're
yeah.
actually here and we're actually present,
yeah.
we get to see
yeah.
what this is.
Yeah.
And if we go back again
yeah.
to
yeah.
being expression of all that is,
mm-hmm.
then
yeah.
what we get to see is how flawed our vision has been,
yeah.
which
yeah.
is very different. Now we're, again, to the process.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're not interested in what's being seen,
mm-hmm.
the flaws.
Mm-hmm.
We're interested in how flawed gets seen.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what I just saw was becoming fascinated by that. Wow, sometimes it's so easy to want the everything that is, and sometimes it's not.
Sometimes it's really not.
It's so fun.
Mm-hmm. Because the energy that used to be used fighting that,
yes, exactly,
is now available just to
yeah.
observe it.
Yeah, it really frees up a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
mm-hmm. all right. Thank you, everybody.